Tamina ya dijani Amina azo na vio Amina uja na muka tuyo Avina mucha tumano choyo Avina mucha nungago Everything else can wait. Give me your heart. I hope I'm not too late. Oh, give me your everything else can go away. Oh, give me your I hope I'm not too late.
We have not gathered here to hear about God. We have gathered here to experience God. Although we have gathered as a corporate entity, our interactions with the divine will be personal. I need for all of us to know tonight that God will be meeting us as individuals. No matter the number of people seated here, God comes for us as individuals. You will begin to see replete in scripture that the tabernacle, as well as the temple that was built in the old covenant, was built according to strict patterns. And those patterns were supervised by God himself in order to communicate divine operations. In the design of the tabernacle, the design of the temple, something stands consistent and repetitive in both. Number one, you will find out that the design consists of three different parts. And it's a very popular knowledge which I want us to fellowship with as a foundation for what God is about to bring to us tonight. And so the three parts of the tabernacle or the temple in the old covenant is the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies or the most holy place. Now, you will realize that in all of these operations, as regarding how the temple was built, it was God that strictly supervised it, giving the formula, giving the pattern, giving the blueprint as regarding how it will be built. And in the light of that, you will also realize that the operations around the outer court is different from the operations in the inner court, and also the operations in the Holy of Holies. This is how the consecration level, the purity level required to operate in those spaces are different. Tonight, as God gives us grace, I will be showing us certain things that I believe will bless us immensely and will serve as a basis for strength, even in this great warfare against the cohorts of darkness in our generation. Now, when we talk about this temple, the source of illumination of each of these parts of the temple is different. When you talk about the outer courts, the source of illumination, the source of light for the outer court is natural light. And natural light consists of sunlight. Meanwhile, it's not only sunlight. At night, the moon also gives light. So the light of the outer court is natural light. And when we talk about light, we're talking about revelation. We're talking about inspiration. So those who dwell in the outer court, their inspiration, their revelation, their convictions, their school of thought, their persuasions is formed by popular opinion, because the sunlight is for all. It is the ruling thing that those people are motivated by. Their convictions about spiritual things and spirituality is based on popular philosophy, because their light is the sunlight. Meanwhile, in the operations of the temple, you will find out that there is no restriction as regarding us who are New Testament saints, because the veil to the Holy of Holies has been torn. So it means to what extent you can fellowship with God is your own responsibility and your own making. If you choose to stay in the outer court and have the sunlight, natural light, as your only illumination, that's your decision. And if you choose to advance beyond there, meanwhile, every time you seek to advance beyond a particular path to a higher or a deeper place, a new requirement of purity and consecration is placed upon you. This is why the Bible makes it expressly clear. It says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand upon his holy mountain?" The mountain of the Lord is the place of encounter. So it does not necessarily mean an elevated land or an elevated platform. It talks about who can appear before his dwelling place. So if you must advance closer to him, there will be a criteria left. It says, he that has a clean hands and a pure heart, that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So there are criteria that afford you closure. There are criteria that gives you access to higher levels of fraternity with God. You don't just stroll your way into the presence of God. Unfortunately, when you begin your walk with God, it is like I said, it is the duty of the Holy Ghost to guide you and teach you all things, but it is your own responsibility to align to the nudgings of the Spirit, to everything He quickens on your inside. And so, when you begin to look at matters like this from this lens, you will realize that the limitation any man is faced with is caused by himself. Nobody is under limitation because of God. In fact, there are other ways I can buttress this point. You will see consistent in God's pattern and blueprint as regarding creation. God always wants to distance himself from having to repeat things over and over again. The moment God was causing the earth to come up with herbs, with plants, with seeds, the reason for seed there is a system of restoration, of renewal, a system to repeat this whole process without God's interference. So everything comes with its own seed, so that there's no need to quicken it to grow afresh. It is inside the seed that the power to recreate that result is. So inside every seed is the result, but the seed must be planted. This is how, for most of us who have taken note or observe what I'm about to share, nobody plants weed, nobody plants grasses. You can burn them, you can clear them, you can do anything you want, but come back the next year, they are still there. Because the moment you are destroying them, they make sure that a seed from them falls to the earth as a remnant, waiting for the earth, the heaven rather, to send rain. The moment water touches that place, that seed will restore that result. God does not owe you anything again. He has locked up the mysteries of this kingdom in principles and laws. If you obey, you will reap. If you obey, you will be blessed. See what the Bible says in Psalm 1 from verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. These are the conditions. You would think that this whole thing started with consecration. It was heading somewhere. Blessed is the man. So the whole idea is you are blessed. But this is what will make you blessed. It starts with the blessing, but he began to explain what will bring the blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. The moment these things are met, verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is the prayer many people are jumping from one prayer house to another, jumping from one minister to another. He says, if you can keep the aforementioned condition, whatsoever you do shall prosper. We thank you, Father, because your word will continue to emphasize the pathways that the ancient journeyed. And tonight, you will restore many unto righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ. So when we go from the outer courts, if you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can pray, you can fellowship, you can advance. In fact, the only criteria that gives you access to the courts is so simple. The scripture says, enter into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praises. The moment you begin to exhibit gratitude, you have accessed the courts of God. But the courts of God is not just the only place where there is. in the categorization of the encounters you can strike. And so tonight, as God gives us grace, I'll be sharing my message. Meanwhile, the title of my discourse is The Tabernacle. If you are writing, you can write that down. The Tabernacle. The Tabernacle. The Tabernacle. The light of the outer court is natural light, which is the sunlight that comes for both good and bad, for righteous and unrighteous. And believers who don't want to go further to know their God, who just want to use God as an ATM. So all they know about God and everything that is about it is to ask and receive. And when they have received, the totality of their fraternity with God is about thanksgiving. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you because I know you will do it. Thank you because before I start praying, I know you will do it. It's about do. It's about God doing. It's about receiving. All the time is God. I connect. I tap. The totality of your experience will be measured into the outer court. Because every time you come with that, you are thanking God again, you will appear in the outer court. But there are different concentration requirements, like I said, if you must journey beyond the outer court to deeper layers of fraternity with God. When you go past the outer court and you have the opportunity to first interact with the brazen living, that is what will begin to do some measure of consecration, some pruning. That is where men wash. That's where men purge. You see, part of the criteria required to fellowship in that outer court, Gentiles, unbelievers, strangers, visitors, anybody who just wants to contemplate on the wonders of the God of Israel, you are allowed to walk around the outer court. Even Gentiles can be there. Visitors can be there. But when you now talk about the holy place, which is the inner court, you cannot stroll your way there. There are consecrations, there are purity, there are purging, there are washings that you must have kept. This is why it is Jews that enter, because they keep the routine, they keep the consecration demand of the holy place. When they proceed further, they realize that the light inside that place has changed. It's not sunlight that gives them illumination anymore. Their light is the menorah, the seven lampstand. It becomes responsible for their light. Meanwhile, the sunlight I spoke to you about, it is produced by combustion also, because the sun is a combustion of gases. Now, when you come to the menorah, the seven lampstand, it is also produced by combustion. But this time, it's not gases that are burning. It is oil that is burning. And it is... Hey, Jesus. See, in these things I'm sharing with you, the light of the sun is natural light. The light of the menorah is the light of the anointing. Because it is the deposit of God upon a vessel. So the lamp is the vessel. The oil is the strength of that fire. Without that oil inside that lamp, the fire will burn the wick. Because the wick itself is not burning, although fire is on it, because oil is inside. It is the oil that stops the fire from destroying the thread. The thread there is sustained by the oil. The moment the oil finishes, the fire has capacity of destroying that thread. So this is exactly what you see by Moses looking at a bush burning, but the fire was not destroying it. Because it must take the administration of the anointing so that the vessel can reveal God's glory, become God's revelation to a people, and not be consumed. So the anointing means God's ability working in vessels. I choose the word vessel, not men, because anything can carry the anointing. Even inanimate things have carried the anointing. The anointing has come upon a rod that was dry, separated from life, spent a night inside the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says the rod of Aaron, it did not only bud, it developed almond fruit. Do you know how many seasons, how many months was compressed into that night of 12 hours? Because when the anointing is at work, laws are bent. It was Moses that looked upon a bush on fire and not being burnt. The only way you can carry God's glory and not be consumed is the anointing. And so the fire, which is the light inside
the holy place is the product of the anointing. If you are following me so far, please say amen. It's not encouraging. Okay, let me try again whether to make sense. Let's say you come to the presence of God, and every time you come, you came talking about, Lord, please, every spirit of death that has been projected against my family. Meanwhile, as you are praying, when they check the program of God, they don't remember that death was planned into your life. So, although you are binding, although you are casting, the things you are speaking is not consistent with God's program. So, you received your information from another source. Everything you are now doing warfare with is not God that said it. So, although you are praying, this is the prayer of the outer court, because your light, natural light, your inspiration, the thing that informed this action. Somebody gets up. You don't know the voice of God. You cannot tell when this particular signal is from God. So, any spirit can send you on an errand. If the spirit of infirmity comes, you will go, you will start running. If the spirit of death projects its asthma, you will start running. Meanwhile, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. What is faith? Now, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everything that is our hope is built on the word. Our reality is captured in the word. Anything God did not say, and you heard it, it's not from God. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? We have a much more sure word of prophecy, the Bible. The word of God is superior to your dream. The word of God is superior to your encounter. I don't care whether seven angels appeared and spoke. If God said something in the Bible that is contrary to that, follow the Bible and forget what they said. You're sleeping like this. You're sleeping. Then you now saw that people are crying. A compound that looks like where you are living. And as they are crying, you now saw your picture on the wall. Obituary, they wrote on that. You get up. The average Christian will want to initiate a fasting routine. A quick emergency prayer. I will show you how prayer in the outer court is. Prayer in the outer court is an emergency activity. Anytime there is danger, that's when outer court men, that's when they pray. Prayer in the outer court is not consistent. It fluctuates. They pray when they feel like praying, because there is no particular routine put into outer court operation. In outer court operation, you can come there anytime you like, but you cannot stroll into holy places when you like. There are laws that guide when the priest entered there. And there are specific dates he enters to make intercession. Hey, the prayer style in the holy places is different from the prayer style in outer court. Outer court prayer is me, myself, and I. Lord, my family. Lord, you said you will give me. Inner court activities is intercessory in style. It is there that your own ambition has been killed. It is there that the brazen altar has furnished and it has eaten off every ambition from you. So you begin to take a new style of prayer. When you see men who have journeyed beyond the outer court, their prayer style is revealing of where they stand. We can all be in this hall tonight, but we don't operate from the same pedestal. We don't operate from the same place. We are not standing in the same zone in the holy altars of the Lord. Meanwhile, when you meet people who dwell more in the outer court, the totality of their prayer style is request prayer. A day is coming. Prayer will change for you. It will no longer be give me. Prayer becomes fellowship. You are using prayer to know your Father. You are using prayer to receive strength. You are using prayer to understand His heart. It is in that day that He seizes your vocal cord. It's not you that pray again. A spirit pray through you. It is now through you He pushes His own will. Meanwhile, there are exclusive reserves set aside for those who love God. So the moment you forget yourself in prayer, that's truly when God remembers you. Jesus, you are the cup that won't run dry. Hi. Oh, Jesus, you are the cup that won't run dry. Jesus, you are the cup that won't run dry. Jesus, you are the cup that won't run dry. Outer court men, their prayer is our Father who art in heaven. Yes, it's our Father because you are born of God. Everybody can enter. But they never pray to the place of thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come is not an utterance with men of the outer court. Because when you say thy kingdom come, it means let your will be ahead of mine. When you say thy kingdom come, it didn't stop there. It says thy will be done. So use my life to advance your government. Who can pray that? When was the last time 2 hours was taken from your prayer schedule and you didn't remember yourself throughout? If we will journey, if we will touch God, you will leave self-seeking. You know what the enemy of God is? It's not Satan, it's you. He says, who is it that wants to come after me? Let him deny himself. It is you that is standing between God. It's not Satan. Satan is not that strong. He hides behind you. You are choosing between God or yourself. Your presence is heaven to me. See, why people are looking for what God can do for them. Some people are looking for that God. It's the God that is their reward. Give me you. That is their own prayer point. It is you I want. From time to time, they want to check. They want to test whether this thing, whether your heart, whether God has truly found a vessel. I sought for a man who stand in the gap. You know what it means to stand in the gap? A man who can enter a different style of prayer called intercessory. Not people who are always on themselves. Not people who are always drawn by their own pursuits. A man who can stand in the gap. Somebody who threw himself between God and the fallen generations of men. This is the style of prayer that people like Moses entered. God is angry with Israel for their sin. Moses threw himself between God and the rebellious nation. Moses began to tell God, if you destroy these people as you said you want to do, what do you think all of these other Gentile nations will say about you? They will say it's because you are not able to fulfill your promise to them. That's why you use wayo and destroy them. God stayed like this and he was thinking. It is a man that has gone past outer court business. He threw himself between God and the fallen nations of men. You will not find many a man operating in this style. Because this style of prayer requires that you die to your own ambition. So it is God's burden. Aye. Can we pray for 1 minute wherever we are? Set my affections on things above. Set my affections on heavenly things. I welcome each and every one of us into a place of intimacy, a place of deep koinonia. What is your burden, oh God? What are your programs? Put it upon me. Lord, you have found a man. You have found a man. You have found a man in me. Search no further. It's a light that will bring conviction and bring persuasion, but it will be because certain people burned. It is because they were set on fire. That was why you can see that dimension of God. This is what happens in the holy place, the inner court. Everybody burning there, they are burning because of the oil that they have. That oil is drying up because of the fire that you are seeing, and that fire is the light that you are seeing there. It is fire that is actually that light. But the strength, the life of that fire is the oil. That is the operations of the anointing. there are many things you know about God. It is because an anointed man yielded his vessel so that God can pipe those dimensions through him. Now, God does not even want you to still have your knowledge base about him through any other vessel. So he extends an invitation for everybody. You too, come into the place where fraternities are made. So beyond the holy place, there's another place called the Holy of Holies. And there, the glory, there, the light, there, is not sunlight, it's not seven lampstands, it's the Shekinah glory. In that place, you will not see any fire, but you will see brightness. Ah, my God. My God. My God. Can somebody pray for 1 minute? Just pray for 1 minute. Stir your spirit up. Charge your spirit.
You sunlight by day, the moon will no more bring you moonlight by night. Jehovah will be your everlasting light.
Hi.
Sun will no more bring you sunlight by day. The moon will no more bring you moonlight by night. Jehovah will be your everlasting light.
Look at me. The exclusive reserve for everybody that falls among this particular move of God. Because I'll be showing you in the next few minutes the program of Zion concerning our generation. I'll be showing you the heart cry of the kingdom concerning our generation. They are not really interested in you being mighty in philosophies. You can be great in knowledge, but knowledge does not secure glory. You can know many things, but you still be a victim of spiritual warfare. You can be a professor of physics. You can be a professor of chemistry. You can even be a professor in medicine and yet die of sickness. Because the knowledge that you sustain does not translate to glory. What you have is like light, but it is a light that reflects itself through the glory of another. This is exactly what the moon is. The moon has no light of its own. Every night you see the moon shining, it is only reflecting the light of the sun. When you begin to build your confidence, your strength on the physical things you are able to fraternize with and your cerebral power, the slightest spiritual challenge will show how bankrupt you are. That Shekinah glory that is in the Holy of Holies, a glory that is so sacred that it quickens life for dead things, a glory that dethrones altars, a glory that beheads gods, a glory that collapses deities. They carried the Ark of the Covenant I shared with you last week and brought it to the temple of Dagon. The temple of Dagon was not the temple of that ark. It was war that made out of rebellion of the children of Israel that made the Philistine to prevail over Israelites. And they took the ark. As helpless as the ark looked in the hand of alien army, they took the ark to the temple of their God, and that ark converted that temple to his own immediately. It is not going to wait until anybody talk. The moment it entered that temple, there was only one God standing there, because Dagon was beheaded and his arms were cut off. The moment the Philistines saw the gravity of the potency of the power of the ark, they began to beg. They went to consult with their wise men, and they said, don't just send the ark back. Send it with gifts and offerings. Apologize for carrying it in the first place. What I'm trying to tell you is that same ark that the children of Israel will go and ask God, should we go to war or not? Behold, there are three nations encamped against us. By numbers, we are disadvantaged. God will say, go. You know what is ahead of them? The Ark of Covenant. I'm telling you that the mystery that was the power of that ark is no longer contained in any inanimate thing. It is now dwelling inside the bodies of men and women. So you are now a mobile ark of the covenant. You don't know how to activate your consciousness. What do you think was inside the ark? It was the tablet of the testament. It was a piece of the manna. It was the rod of Aaron that boarded. Do you know what each of these items signify? The tablet means if the word of God richly dwells in you, you will naturally sustain an ambience of God's presence. It is the mystery of the presence I'm sharing with you. If you see any man decked with God's presence in a very potent manner, he is a very voracious reader of the word. It is that word that is creating that wave of manifestation around him. Number two, the showbread, which is a piece of the manna. Hey, anybody who would sustain the presence of God, he must be a person that has held onto God's wonders and his marvelous works in his life, and he is not quick to forget God's deliverance in time past. Anybody that continues to keep a memorial for God's mighty act. The difference between a brother that carries a very strong aura of God's presence versus another Christian who is void of that manifestation is that when God shows up for you today, the moment the challenge is solved, you have forgotten. Another person, he raised an altar and said, I will never forget the day I thought I would die. I will never forget that night that I didn't think I would see the next day. Then they give God a name. The name they give God is to preserve that ordinance. That this is how the elders, this is how they dealt with God. Every time God does something for them, they name God a new name. They call him Great Provider. That Great Provider means we have seen your providence, that it is beyond the comprehension of man. So anytime they want that dimension of God, they only call that name because they were the ones that named it. They have built an altar to preserve that dimension of God. You will not carry the presence of God if you are quick to forget his intervention. You will never carry his presence if you are always anxious, full of anxiety. I shared somewhere on Tuesday, I saw a write-up, funny but very true. The write-up was written in vernacular. He says, now me just the worry. Nobody say God don't fail me before. Do you understand what that means? He's telling you that actually, if you check the history of my life, God has never failed me. But if you see me worrying, I'm just the one that is always repeating this mistake. But if you follow God's own path, he has never failed. Look for a man that carries a very contagious presence of the Holy Ghost. He remembers God's mighty work all the time. Because the psalmist that say, I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is with me and I will not be afraid. You know what he's doing? He keeps everything God has done as a memorial. So it is a consciousness he carries all the time. the one who delivered me from the bear, the one who saved me from the lion's mouth, he will deliver you, you uncircumcised Philistine. This is where David wielded his strength from. He was running before Goliath, charging at Goliath with a stone. The person he's running against, a giant with knife, with a sword rather, and a shield that men will have to carry. And you are running against him like he's a dog with a stone in a sling. Goliath was insulted. And Goliath went into priesthood and began to curse David by the name of his God. David also entered into priesthood and said, you come before me with a sword. He says, but I come before you in the name. So it is not a New Testament thing to go to warfare in the name of Jesus. Do you know that it was David that said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Meanwhile, these are thousands of years apart from this reality. But he was not with his generation. He had journeyed ahead. The things he was touching, they were foreign to that lifetime. He told Goliath, I come in the name. Meanwhile, it was a New Testament reality for people to begin to do business with the name. Because the Bible says he has given us a name that is above every other name. It says at the mention of that name. In Proverbs chapter 30. You will find a very strange scripture there. It says, do you know the name of the Lord and the name of his son? This is old covenant. Men were already probing that God has a son. How did they know? And they were probing, what is his name? It says, declare it if you know it. Do you know the name of the Lord and the name of his son? Were not outer court men. They were never. If you hear the style of David's prayer, he will say, I rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. You know what is happening there? It's love. It's where lovers meet. That's where Shekinah glory is. This one is not because of something he should do for you. It's the way you start praying, Lord, I receive, I collect, give me. Lord, remember you promised me. A time will come, your prayer will be seized because you have been weakened. You will now start praying the agenda of God. And you will learn by experience that the moment you start praying God's agenda, your own agenda will start working out quickly. Tonight is a summon. It's an invitation to deeper places. It is open to all. Anybody who desire to see him, he will make himself real to them. He will not hide his face from our generation, because this is the generation that seeks him. Anybody who desires to see him, he will extend an invitation and say, come. There is a deep call to leave the outer court operations. Maybe you will forget yourself, at least for now. Maybe you forget your appetite, your pursuit, your zeal, your ambition. And seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. Then all other things that you are looking for will be added unto you. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. When you go from natural light into the menorah, into Shekinah, you too can now say, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ears, but now my eye has seen you. Because the place of genuine encounter is the Holy of Holies. This is what the death of Jesus procured for us, the veil to that Holy of Holies was torn, so that all can now enter. I'm
trying to tell you that it is time to know God for yourself. The sunlight will not suffice. As beautiful as the menorah is, it will not suffice anymore. Because the operations of the menorah is the oil in the lamp that is burning. And the oil is the anointing. And the anointing is God's ability put upon a man to communicate God's glory. No man can effectively reveal God to you. There are things about God only you can know for yourself. Tonight, somebody must appear before that glory. Only you and God. I know you have been attending church. I know you have been enjoying services. I know every time you turn by your left and right, you can see the faces of your friends. But tonight, maybe a spirit will quicken you to a place where it's just you and the Holy Ghost alone. As though you are the only one sitting in this hall. Only you and Him. He's talking to you now. Just you and Him. And He's inviting you to a deeper place. I will show you the need for what we are sharing about. My discourse tonight is divided into two subheadings. I will run through it for the sake of time. Number one, man, the tabernacle of God. Man, the tabernacle of God. Man, the tabernacle of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Please, can you read by yourself now at the count of two? One, two, go. I love this scripture. It began with, what? What are you doing? Why are you living recklessly? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So, the tabernacle we are speaking about, the temple we are talking about, is no longer a building built with bricks and clay. It is now the bodies of men. That is where the dwelling presence of God now resides. That same presence that was in the Ark of Covenant, that presence that was responsible for mighty victories, that presence that was responsible for mighty exploits, it now lives on your inside. This is your body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. See what the exclamation there was addressing. It says, what? Know ye not? So it means you can be given that jurisdiction to carry God. You can be given that clearance and privilege to be a mobile carrier of God. But you will live in ignorance. And you will never communicate the reality of a mobile carrier of God. He says, know ye not. Because this is where the challenge is. He says, they know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on. You see, the challenge is this. This is Psalm 82 now. They know not. Neither will they understand. So ignorance is responsible for the reason why they cannot live up to their God-ordained potential. Please, let's read together, everybody. One, two, go. It says, they know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. See what the next verse says. So you see the beauty of this scripture. I have said, they are gods, because all of you. How are you a God? He says, listen, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. So the only thing potent enough to stop you from manifesting in your God nature, it is the cloud of darkness that continues to brood over us, causing ignorance. So when we walk in ignorance, we will not reveal our natures of God. I have said unto you, ye are gods. All of you are children of the Most High. It says, but you die like men.
high and you fall like one of the princes. So God died, and when they looked at them as they fell, although they had the potential, they had the inherent capacities to be gods in their generation, when they fell, they said they did not know. That's why they did not understand. That's why they walked on in darkness. That's why they could not walk as gods. Please tell yourself, I carry the presence of God. Say it again, the Spirit of God lives in me. Say, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Who are these sons of God? Who are these ones that the earnest expectation of creature are waiting for their manifestation? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you are born of the Spirit here, you are a son of God. You too, you are now a God. But you will not walk in that reality until you exert a level of knowledge in the right direction, knowing who you are. Like the story of the chicken and the eagle that was told us. An eagle walking with a company of chickens. All he knows are chickens. And so he's limited by the knowledge base that he has subscribed to. A time came, he saw a standard different from chickens. Then he knew that he was not born to be like this. This is what the Bible meant by they know not. They know not. Please say, I know. Come on, say it again, I know. Say it one more time, I know. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost and sickness cannot dwell together. This is where God dwells now. So God cannot share his tabernacle with witches, with wizards, with demons, with curses. Demons cannot live in my vessel if this, my body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is this truth that you know and it sets you free. You don't need anybody to lay hands on you. You already know the Spirit of God lives within me. I am the temple of God. When Jesus was speaking, a great deal of people in his generation did not understand his emphasis. So in John chapter 2, from verse 19 to 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, for 46 years our fathers were building this temple, and you say that you build, break it and raise it up after 3 days? But Jesus spake of the temple of his body. I repeat it again. Man, the tabernacle of God. It was Jesus that began to change our ideology. That the temple that we are going to be fellowshipping in, the temple where prayer will hold, will not be this building built with bricks and clay. He says, destroy this temple. And what the people of his generation understood was that he was talking about this particular temple that was built for 46 years. But they had updated the definition of temple in the lexicon of Zion. Temple was no longer building. Temple was the bodies of men. And Jesus freely used that word to show what God now calls temple. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. I want all of us to read together. Ezekiel 36, verse 27. Everybody, let's read together. It is projected. 1, 2, go. Are you tired of falling and rising? Are you tired of falling short of God's expectation over and over again? Are you tired of making determination, making vows and resolution, and not being able to live up to the tenets of those particular resolutions? It is not in you to be able to live up to God's expectation. The laws of God can only be kept by God. The instructions of God can only be met by God. This is why it is His Spirit that He will put in you, and quicken the God nature on your inside, then you can live up to the expectation of God. Because a man cannot fulfill the expectations of God. You are helpless. You are like that pig that they give a good bath to. Your nature is different from God's nature. Your nature will make you always violate the laws of God. And so it is His Spirit that He puts within you. He says, I will put my Spirit within you and curse you. So it is that Spirit that will make you walk in His way. You are not the one to use resolution and determination and saying no to overcome. Your overcoming is because you were cursed to walk in His ways. Maybe you see that scripture again. I will put my Spirit within you and curse or make you to walk in my status, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. Are you tired of struggling? The secret is to carry His indwelling presence. The moment that presence enters, see what He said to Ezekiel. He said, son of man, stand upon your feet. Ezekiel said, I tried and I could not. He says, the Spirit entered me and set me upon my feet. So God says, do something. You cannot do it. Then the Spirit of God entered you and carried out the instruction God says you should do. Because God's instruction can only be obeyed by the agency of His Spirit. If you don't carry His Spirit, you will struggle with His instruction over and over and over again. Because only His Spirit has the capacity to live up to His expectation. This is why, by all means, look for the presence tonight. Look for that thing that is hidden inside the Holy of Holies. Hi! You know what happens in the Holy of Holies? That's where the altar of incense is. That's where the altar of holy incense is. When the priest begins to burn that incense, the fragrance, the aloes, the aroma will fill the Holy of Holies, for it will permeate from there. Those who are in the holy place, the inner court, they will start feeling the weight of that fragrance. So you can be satisfied thinking you have touched something because the fragrance came out from the Holy of Holies and touched you a bit. And you can carry that fragrance and begin to do mighty things. But that is not God's zenith of intercourse with man. There are men that are inside the refinery, the place where the incense is being burnt. Many of us, the only thing we carry is a residue, just a scent of what beams from the Holy of Holies. Meanwhile, He is not interested in an outer court arrangement with you. He wants to live inside your heart so that your spirit becomes God's own Holy of Holies. Man, the tabernacle of God. You are a moving, walking, talking God. You are God. You are God's image. You are God's hand. You are God's manifestation. Anywhere you enter, God has entered. But not all men will relegate their will so that God's will can superimpose upon theirs. The things I share with you, if you allow these things to take shape, you will realize that the temple God is looking for now, the vessels of men, He wants to fill you up to overflow so that you start spilling. You know what it means to spill? That's when you will sit down in a bus like this and you are minding your business. You are on your way to Kaswa and everybody in the bus will start crying because something is leaking. There is a presence that is flowing. An excess of the presence begin to witness. Aye! It is at that time you will use a handkerchief and clean your sweat. And in your own mind, it's only sweat. You will throw it carelessly. The next human being that touches it, the curse that has regulated that family for 40 years, was scattered because your sweat. It is a man that is overflowing. There is something. You are leaking. It's too much. What is on you has filled up to the brim. So anywhere you enter, you stain that place with the presence. This is where you go and sit down like this in a place. And people will start asking, judge us now, judge us. Call us sinner. You have not said anything. It is the weight of the glory you carry. This is where people are going on retreat. Not because they want God to open a season. Not because of marriage. Not because of job. Their prayer is, show me your glory. These are men who are already born again. They are already saved. They are not looking for rice or beef. They are intoxicated with the glory. I want more. There is a way you will carry the presence. Your witness to your generation will be potent. Because hi, it says, and the Lord walking with them, confirming his words with signs and wonders following. Because it is God's presence that journeys with them. They didn't run ahead. They obeyed the laws that guided the Exodus. Before they took a step, the pillar of cloud will move. A man who is saturated with the presence. The presence saturates you. When you wake up, heaven rejoices. Because they know that a mighty, valiant man is awake again. When you go to bed, heaven is in sorrow. Because they know that darkness can try to do some things quickly. Meanwhile, a man who is valiant, according to the description of God, you are valiant by what degree of the presence you carry. The presence is your stature in the spirit realm. He that carries more is ranking. So if a baby carries more of the presence, he is ranking. Anybody that carries the presence, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The thing spirit called glory is the presence. You operate in glory to the degree that you carry the presence. This is what people like Catherine Kuhlman tarried. They stayed there until their life became an attestation that they carried God. She was more conscious of his presence, even than associations, even than friendships, even than interaction with men. She carried the presence. So much so that her meetings became a proof that she has carried it. We're not talking about outer court. You can touch God there and do a lot of wonders for your generation. You can enter the inner court, the holy place, and the incense and the aura, the aroma that beams from the Holy of Holies, it can saturate your garments and you can look like a cherub in your generation. But there are those who know that there is more. There are chapters to the book of Acts that our generation will write. I know that the mighty works of God is not in the past, because the Bible says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. So if we are looking for the wonders of God, I should not be reading the books of dead men. I should not be talking about the days of Elijah. I am alive. Why can't God use me? The same Holy Ghost, same supply of the Spirit. But we are looking for God in generations past. What has happened to our own generation? Because we have been kept out, we have been locked out. It is like somebody logging you out of a particular site. You were in a website, assessing information, assessing realities, and they log you out. Satan has logged many people out of their inheritance. So, although you have the capacity to connect to that particular reality, but they have kept your expression to be earthly, and they have kept your expression to be fleshly, so that you cannot mount up. Because the facilities in your spirit, they are mightier than you can ever imagine. Inside your spirit are technologies that you can never conceive. There are capacities to overturn judgment inside your spirit. You alone can wage war against a troop if your spirit is activated. It says, by my God, I run through a troop. A troop, an army, a garrison. By my God, I leap over a wall. Because inside your spirit are technologies that you have never explored. It is inside that spirit, being reborn, being regenerated, that is where your true identity is hidden. Inside there. Would you carry the presence of God? Would you look for the dwelling presence of God? At best, in the outer court, you will receive perspective of philosophy, ruling philosophy about God, They will tell you God is energy. God is one same God, but different ways to reach Him as religions. Those are outer court conversations, popular philosophies. They will tell you there is no difference between Islam and Christianity and Buddhism and Hinduism. That all is one God, but it's just different routes that they are using. Those are outer court conversations. Then you enter the inner court, where a vessel is communicating God to you. And in the inner court, the anointing must come upon that vessel, because it is only through the agency of the anointing that He can unveil that dimension of God. This is why the light of the inner court is on the seven lampstand, and the strength of the lamp is the oil. But a day is coming when no man will say unto his neighbor, "Thus says the Lord." A day is coming when none will teach another about God, because all men will know God for themselves. These are the operations of the Holy of Holies. This is where men see His face. Where you journey for a while and your hunger is that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable. This is where you are drawn into higher layers of intercourse. Men think you have found God, but a new hunger arrests you, because you know that there are things about Him you cannot defend. You know that many things you know about Him is because you heard of it by the hearing of the ears. Now you want your eye to see Him. Have you seen the Lord? Has He made Himself real to you? Has He made your body His dwelling place? Is your body the temple of the Holy Ghost? You see, fornication will have no power over you the moment the Holy Ghost says, "This is my temple." Hey, masturbation is a joke. It's a joke. It has no grip stronger than the grip of our Lord. The moment He lays hold on you and says, "I choose this one." Remember the scripture I read to you in Ezekiel chapter 30 verse 27? It says, "I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my ways, and you will keep my commandments." You cannot do it by yourself. It is a spirit that will make you do it. Your holiness that you are talking about is not your own. It is, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So our righteousness is to what degree the life of Christ can live on our inside. That's when you can live out that nature of righteousness. The outer court Christian is motivating himself, quoting scriptures to deaden the voice of conscience that is reminding him that you are not living in consonance with God's expectation. So he is always trying to remind everybody that God is merciful. There is a place you enter where everything begins to summon loyalty. The fear of the Lord will consume you. It is at that place you will say, "How can I do this great wickedness against God?" These are men that must have journeyed beyond. See, don't let anybody, I repeat, don't let anybody talk you into complacency. It is a generation of those who seek the Lord. If you don't know God for yourself now, you will be a victim. Because He began to give us a charter of the program of darkness, and a very rich heritage to the calendar of wickedness. Then He says, the people that do know their God. It's not people who hear about Him. The people who know Him. He says they will be strong and they will do exploits. Do you know your God? I'm not talking about "I have heard of you." I'm speaking epignosis. Experiential knowledge. That you have experienced Him. He says, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which our hand has handled of the word of truth. These are the things we commit unto you. When you say God is great, have you seen His greatness? When you say God is mighty, have you seen His might? When you say God is all-knowing, have you experienced His wisdom? Don't settle for head knowledge. Lord, show me your glory. What happened to Paul that he began to cry? This is a man that was caught up. He was caught up and he heard things unspeakable. This is a man that Jesus appeared to and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This is a man that spake back to the voice of God and said, who art thou, Lord? This is a man Jesus introduced himself to. I am Jesus. The man came to a point. He started crying that I may know you. You have not met him. You don't have any encounter and you are satisfied. Why is there no yearning on your inside to know more? Because we have been relegated to outer court activity. Who told you that as far as your prayer points are being answered, it shows that you are making progress? A day will come. Your progress is not your answer prayer. Your progress is the burden of God that you are able to carry in prayer. So at the outer court is the style of prayer there, is prayer request. When you journey beyond the outer court to holy places, the style of prayer is intercessory prayer. This is what Jesus is doing currently. He says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So when you enter that capacity, that is the higher calling. That is the higher calling. It is higher than any other calling, where you have thrown yourself between the blade of God's vengeance and the falling breed of men. Show mercy, Lord. Show mercy. You don't know God. You don't know his heart. If God wants to destroy a man because of the man's offense, God will go and start looking for a man that can help. Hey, I read about my God and I found out that truly he is good and his mercies is forever. Because of the foundation of God's throne, it is righteousness and justice. That justice expression of the throne will insist that the law be meted out. So if a man lives outside Jesus, outside God's program of restoration and redemption, the vengeance of God will want to come upon him. God will start looking for another human being that can please, if there is anybody that can help, to throw himself between him. So it is God that wanted to punish because of his righteous nature. It is that same God, because of his merciful nature, that will go and start looking again and say, can anybody stand in the gap for this brother? This is why you can be sleeping sometime and you will see a primary school classmate that you have not seen for many years. You will have dreams that something happened to them. Why are you seeing a primary school classmate after more than 20 years? It's because they went to search among everybody he has interacted with. When was the last time he intercepted somebody who is alive in the court of the spirit? Because there is a court session that is going on and the fate of this man is being decided. Can anybody speak up for him? Can anybody intercede? Suddenly somebody intercept that judgment and say, have mercy, oh God. Show mercy. Show mercy. Show mercy. Yes, weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. When a man begins to stand between the blade of God's vengeance and the rebellious nations of men, you have arisen into a higher calling. This is where demons will finish their permutation and finish their orchestration from the corridors of the spirit. And they plan that by 5 days' time, a riot will break out in Katuna State and bloodshed will be many places and souls will die in their number and many people will be cut off unprepared. You know what God will do? A bulk SMS will be sent from Zion into the souls of men who have journeyed out of the outer court. Suddenly they will be sleeping in the visions of the night and they will intercept an encounter. They will see bloodshed. They will see war. They will see crisis. Then they get up in the night. I counsel, I bind, I stop, I judge, I condemn. That is where you rise. And he says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So it means, no matter where they plant it, even if angels plant it in heaven, the moment a man who have gone past outer court, the moment he intercepts it and he cancels it, it is cancelled. Hi. Can you just stir up that refinery on your inside? There is a bank of power inside you. There is a bank of power. Can you stir it up? I journey deeper. I press deeper. I go beyond sunlight. I go beyond the menorah. I journey into holy places. It was fragrant, many tongues of fire. My worship is my weapon. This is how I win my battles. First it was fragrant, many tongues of fire. My worship is my weapon. This is how I win my battles. This is how I win. This is how I win. The smoke of my worship is in the earth. This is how I win. This is how I win. The smoke of my worship. Leave me at the altar with my Father. Leave me at the altar with my Father. Leave me at the altar with my Father. Leave me at the altar with my Father.
Give me the altar with my Father. Give me the altar with my Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we are doing is called downloads. Downloads. Everybody is pressing in. It's a violent time in the world of spirits. Everybody is laboring to enter. If you think anybody is going to spoon feed you in this generation, you are misinformed. If you think anybody will give you feeding bottle so that they will be petty, you are misinformed. The order of the day now is violence. Only violent men take their inheritance by force. Who told you because prophecy came that you will be great, you will turn out to be great? That greatness will come out by violence. You will give birth by violence until Zion travails. Who told you will amount to anything? Who told you your ordination will come to pass? No matter what prophecy went ahead of you, it will take violence to give birth to it. I told the Lord, if you give me strength, I will fight. If you give me capacity, I will stand. But I will tarry until everything you have whispered about my being, until they all come to pass. Just strengthen me from my inner man. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion King.
Round up what I want to do. Please be seated.
Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Has been declared. It will never be altered. In John chapter 4 verse 24, the Bible says, God is a spirit, and them that must worship him, there's no creativity in this matter. The location where that worship will happen is in spirit and in truth. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you?
Sir.
If you are looking at me and you are following me, please say amen.
Amen.
Now look at me carefully. the design of the temple is similar to the blueprint of the design of man. The temple has outer courts, holy place, holy of holies. The design of man has body, soul, and spirit. In this outer court, holy place, holy of holies, there is only one place God said he will be found. He says, them that must worship him, they will worship him in spirit. Meanwhile, it was God that gave the description of how the outer court should be designed. It's God that gave the description of how the holy place, the inner court, should be designed. But he never said he will meet you there. Place where he meets men. In the holy of holies. Let me give you another scripture to buffet and strengthen the point that I'm raising. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 22, the Bible says, and here I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Tell me, where is the ark of covenant kept? It says, here I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, between the two cherubim. The meeting place is in the holy of holies, where the ark resides. The scripture I read out to you, it says God is a spirit, and anybody who would worship him, the location where you will meet and worship is in spirit and in truth. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Flow, let it flow right here, right now. As the river flows, it begins to bring every that into life. It's a life-giving river. Do you know what you are saying? Eh? Your healing is inside you. Your restoration is inside you. Everything that died in your life can be restored through something that will flow from inside you. The solution is inside you. If that river, anything that dies, if it touches it, it comes alive. But it starts flowing from your belly. It's inside you. It's inside you. It's not my river is not your own. My own river is to quicken every dead facility on my own destiny. The moment that river begins to flow, everything dead, everything seen has deadened, everything compromised, every weakness, it causes life to come upon me first. Then when the life on me begins to overflow, people around me begin to become benefactors of the spillage of life that I have contacted. But the first focus of that river is me, the carrier, me. You too. Allow your river to flow. As the river flows, it begins to bring every that into life. It's a life-giving river. I can give you over and over and over and over again scriptures to buttress my point. The Bible says from base of the altar, the water, it was called, it says it began to flow from the base of the altar, and the more he was journeying in it, the volume and the length of the depth of the water was becoming deeper, deeper, deeper. It says anything that water touches, it brings it back to life. I don't care whether sickness has attacked your body. Your healing is already inside you. There is a river. He says a river, nameless, no identity, went out of Eden to water the garden. He says from thence, it parted into four heads. Pison, Gihon, Hiddekel, and Euphrates. The moment it waters the garden, identities started coming into the names of the river. What is the name of this river that didn't have a name, but its tributaries has names? That is the Holy Ghost that will come upon you. But when he enters you, his expression, because it is the moment it was coming out of the garden, it branched into foreheads. It is the expression from you. It will enter you as one spirit, but he will express himself in different tributaries. The first river is River Pison. This is that which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. You know what the Bible meant by good there? It's because every good and perfect gift. Oh, I know. That out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. I need everybody to retreat inside now. See, you are not praying to God. You are praying to God. Yeah. He's inside. You go inside to find him. You don't go up to find him. He's inside. He's in depth. It's called the secret place. It's a place of solitary. Publics don't go there. Maybe you retreat inside. And for the first time in a long while, whisper some words. Whisper some words to him. I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to touch you, Lord. I don't want to hear about you. I want to know you for myself. I don't want to hear about what you do. I want to experience your wonders. Give me you. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Hey.
Only you can satisfy me.
Yeah.
Only you can satisfy my soul.
Satisfy
my soul.
Jesus is only you. Isaiah chapter 56 from verse 7. The Bible says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices shall be acceptable upon my altar. For my house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Which house are we talking about? This hall? This hall? No, your body. It says your body shall be called a house of prayer for all people. It means anytime anybody comes near you, prayer will start hungering them. Anybody that comes near you, you jack them up. You jack them up into an energy level of prayer. Jesus is only you.
Only you can satisfy.
Only you.
Only you can satisfy my soul.
Satisfy my soul.
Satisfy my soul.
Satisfy my soul. shall be called a house of prayer. In Matthew chapter 21, from verse 13, it says, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So what was prophesied in Isaiah 56 verse 7? As at the time where it was supposed to be manifested, the ordinance has been bastardized. They have converted it into a den of thieves. In my life, you'll be glorified. You'll be glorified. Holy Ghost, fill me up. Fill me up and live out your will through me. Live out your thoughts through me. Live out your desires through me. There are baptisms going on already. Please help them. There are baptisms. The moment you open up your soul and say, Holy Ghost, move upon me. Fill me up. He will fill you up without measure tonight. Because this is the day of the Spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made. And He will jealously baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Ushers, please go around. Listen. The hand of God. The hand of God. By the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Is about to come upon people now. Fires are about to be restored. Ancient altars are about to be ignited. And there is about to be a restoration of fellowship and koinonia. Whatever you want to do, Lord, you can do through me. Whatever you want to change, Lord, you can change through me. Wherever you want to go,
Lord, you can go through
me. Whoever you want to bless,
Lord, you can bless through me.
I'm yours forevermore. In the next 5 minutes before we go, anywhere you are, just lay your hands on yourself. Holy Ghost, fill me up. Fill me up. Make me your temple, your dwelling place. Make me. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run over. Listen. Listen.
The scriptures that I read out to you just now from Isaiah chapter 56 verse 7 and Matthew chapter 21 verse 13. It says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. If you don't know what it meant, it's saying that the majestic display of God's wonders that will be in that house is powered by prayer. It says the house, the name of that house, the name of that temple is called the house of prayer. House of prayer. House of prayer. This is where the bodies of prayer are cooked. This is where men are summoned into prayer. Tonight you are going to contend until a new tongue is given to you. Tonight you are going to contend until you are filled with the Holy Ghost. He says, I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my status and keep my commandments. In 5 minutes, can you blast in the Holy Ghost?
Yes, to see the Askena, Everybody here, over everybody here, in the name of Jesus, let fire fall, let fire fall, let fire fall upon your head, upon your hands, upon you, let fire fall. I set your altars on fire, I ignite you, I set you on fire. Bring them out. Over every destiny, over every ordination, over every prophecy that has been delayed and resisted, in the name of Jesus, let fire fall. Fire upon your head now. I set you on fire. Everything hiding your manifestation, I unveil you now. I unveil you now. Over everybody who have received a portion, a measure of the Spirit, there is about to be another portion, another measure. There is about to be an infilling of the Holy Ghost. This same Spirit that rose up Christ from the dead, He is about to tabernacle upon many mortal bodies. He is about to dwell upon many mortal bodies. And He wants to vitalize.
Another
He wants to kill.
Holy Ghost, another 1,000. Another measure. Holy Ghost, another 1,000.
See what the Holy Ghost is doing. See what the Holy Ghost is doing.
Another measure. Holy Ghost, another 1,000. Another measure.
In this place, there is a contention over the bodies of men. There is a contention over the bodies of men. Spirits are laying claim over some bodies here, but the Holy Ghost fight for His own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. My body belongs to Jesus. I speak to every house of prayer. I speak to every house of prayer. I speak to every house of prayer. Let your altars be ignited in the name of Jesus. The weight of his glory, the weight of his glory will come upon some men now. The weight of his glory, it will rest on you and change your identity. It will settle on you and change your image. It will alter your appetite. It will change your visage. It will give you a new identity. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God, from the back to the front, from the left to the right, everywhere, everywhere. The weight of your glory upon them now, upon them now, upon them now. Until my change is come, until his glory comes, until revival comes, I will pray. Until my change is come, until his glory comes, until revival comes,
from the church, it seems to be return, not the mountains to return, but the borders to arise. But don't get to worry. Ali, Ali, no.
Ali,
Ali, no.
Ali, no.
Oh!
It's the day of the Spirit. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. And you will keep my commandments and do them. Before we leave, I'm sorry, our time is fast spent. There is an activation for a prophet. One. There is an activation. It's for clarity. You have been doubting. You have been doubting. Is it a grace? Or is it just my imagination? Or is it just dreams? No, no, no. The Holy Ghost will intensify that gift now. It will be intensified. And you will begin to see accuracy. Accuracy in the things the Lord brings to your gaze. And so Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Administer. 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 Please help them. Help them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very quickly, while we are still standing, so that we don't waste time, I'll just run through. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. I want to see you. I want to see you. Would you open the eyes of my heart, Lord? Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted, you are shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out your power in us as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
I want to see. By the grace of God, on Tuesday is our Congress, our Healing and Communion Service, holding at Habikut Hall, number 48, 49 Chiroma Street, and Gwanye Luwa Television, Kaduna. Please make it a point of contact with us, and God will bless you immensely. God's willing, the Kaduna Solemn Assembly is here. Who is excited? Kaduna Solemn Assembly is scheduled to take place from the 11th to 13th of July. 11th to 13th of July. That's next month. So it's here. Solemn Assembly is here. Any moment from now, our billboards will go up and publicity will intensify. All other arrangements are already in place. Our ministers are already preparing for such a mighty feast that God will be granting us in this side of the kingdom. So please, clear your schedules and prepare to be around for the 3 days of the conference. This will be the first time it will be 3 days. And God is set to do us great, great things.
Everything else can wait. Give me your all. I hope I'm not too late.